Welcome back to episode 2 of Life is Tough, Keep Going. This is a podcast where we talk about life. We talk about the good stuff and the bad stuff. And because life isn't usually just good and bad, we're going to talk about everything in between as well. My name is Cassandra, and I am so grateful that you are back with me today for the second episode. I am so happy to be back, and I am really excited to jump into our topic today. Last week, we took a deep dive into boundaries. We talked about what boundaries are, why they're important to our life, how to notice what our unique boundaries are, and, most importantly, how to enforce them in our everyday connections and relationships. One thing that I didn't mention last week, and I think it's really important to talk about this week, is the fact that when we talk about things like this, especially when we're talking about maybe things that are on the negative side, it's really important to recognize that sometimes we can hear things that maybe we talk about as being unhealthy or not adaptive or things that maybe we want to change in our lives. And we hear these things and we reflect it back on maybe things that we are doing in our lives. Or when we're talking about these boundaries and we think, hey, maybe I'm overstepping these boundary lines when it comes to some of my relationships, or hey, I maybe haven't had an opportunity to recognize that that is a boundary and maybe I'm doing something wrong. And when we notice that, sometimes we can experience and feel a lot of negativity towards ourselves or maybe some self-judgment. And I really wanted to take a moment and just highlight that and really, really highlight that we are not doing this because we want to judge ourselves and because we're doing something wrong. We are all doing the best we can with what we have. The purpose of these discussions and talking about healthy versus unhealthy relationships and boundaries and all of these other things is not to say what you're doing wrong, but it's to give us an opportunity to reflect on our lives and think, is there anything that I could maybe be doing better that's going to increase my wellness, increase the wellness of those around me? So it's not about judgment. It's not about what you're doing wrong in this moment. It's recognizing, hey, maybe I could be doing this better. And then making a active decision to make these changes. So I really wanted to take a moment and just kind of insert that into the discussion today before we get going. Because I know it's something that will sometimes pop up and it's just so important that we're being open-minded when we're listening to these discussions and we're not judging ourselves for our shortcomings. Rather, we are recognizing things that are going well and maybe things that we need to change. So we talked about last week that we're going to be jumping into relationships. So as promised, that's what we're going to be talking about today, the loaded topic of relationships. Specifically, we're going to be identifying the healthy versus the unhealthy relationships. So whether you identify as an introvert, as an extrovert, at the end of the day, we are all human beings and social connections are a big part of our life. Today, I would like to have an open, raw, honest conversation about the types of relationships that all of us will likely encounter throughout our lives. We're going to start with the definition of a relationship, basically what I mean by the word relationship throughout this discussion. Then I'm going to get into the different types of relationships that many of us have or will encounter throughout our lives. If you haven't experienced these different types of relationships already, you will likely find that we can have a variety of very healthy, positive relationships in our lives. And you will also likely, unfortunately, discover that we can experience relationships that aren't so healthy. So I want to take a look at what it means to have a healthy relationship, what healthy relationship traits need to exist to consider that relationship to be healthy, and of course to emphasize this point and really drive home why we're all deserving of having healthy, safe, respectful, supportive relationships. We're going to compare these healthy relationship traits to unhealthy relationship traits, what we might label as a quote toxic relationship. Before we dive in, however, I would like to take a moment to remind everybody that while conversations about relationships may seem very surface level, they can create a lot of big feelings in our bodies, especially if we're noticing or becoming aware that some of the unhealthy traits that we're about to discuss maybe present in some of our own current relationships. Maybe it's behaviors that we are doing or behaviors of the other people in our lives. So it's really important to be mindful that we can carry a lot of negative feelings towards ourselves when we do take a step back and notice the relationships that we have in our lives. It's a reality that sometimes we can experience some feelings of self-judgment when we're examining our lives in a general sense. So that being said, I am going to finish up our discussion today with a mindful grounding activity. If you listened to the first episode, you may remember me mentioning that we will do some grounding activities after conversations that may be triggering for some people, and that I really, really encourage you to participate in these grounding activities. Please don't skip over them. Even if after this discussion you are not noticing that you're feeling triggered or feeling anything in your body, I still recommend that you do the exercise. Just trust me on this. Even if you feel totally fine, grounding is never a bad idea. Okay, so let's jump in. Relationships. Often when we think of the word relationship, we think of a romantic relationship, somebody that we are in a partnership with. And while that is one definition of relationship, when I say relationship throughout this discussion and throughout pretty much any discussion that we have on this podcast, I'm meaning a connection between two or more people. So a relationship can mean anything from a romantic relationship to a friendship or a family relationship, a work relationship with a coworker. They are simply the connections that we build with another person or people throughout our everyday life. So while you listen to this episode, I encourage you to think about all of your relationships in your life, your relationships with your friends, with your family, your relationships with your coworkers, any connections that you have in your life right now, because I can pretty much guarantee you that each one of these relationships is having some form of impact on your life, whether it's big or small. So why are we having a full conversation about relationships, you may be asking? Because each one of us have connections in our lives in some way or another. And these connections, these relationships, are a big part of our physical and emotional wellness. Yes, I did just say physical wellness, so please allow me to explain. Our mental and physical health are very much interconnected. In fact, most of the time, our body is aware of how we are feeling before our brain even has a chance to catch up. For example, have you ever had your tummy growl only to realize that you haven't eaten all day? How about that racing heart feeling or sweaty palms when you're about to give a work presentation? Although we might not even be aware of it, our body is always giving us a sign that we're feeling a certain way. We're going to have more on this in another discussion. So, what does this all have to do with relationships? One of the biggest differences between a healthy relationship and an unhealthy relationship is the emotional give and take. What does that look like? I'm a visual learner, so I like to use the water glass analogy when discussing give and take in a relationship. Every one of us has what we call an emotional range. This emotional range can and will fluctuate depending on what's going on in our lives. If things are going well, as in we have little stress in our lives, we may have a vast emotional range with lots of energy. On the other hand, if we are experiencing a more stressful time in our life, maybe we have struggles at work, quickly approaching deadlines, maybe some family problems, anything that could be considered extra stuff, this may cause our emotional range to seemingly decrease. Or in other words, we will likely feel a lack of energy or motivation. So let's just say, for example, we're in a fairly neutral point in our lives. We don't have a whole lot of extra stress going on right now. We're feeling mostly in control of our lives. Things are pretty average. Maybe even we can say they're going well. So let's say this makes our emotional range or emotional water glass fairly full, maybe about three quarters of the way full. A water glass that is about three quarters full means that we have some extra energy or water to give to others. So maybe we have a friend that needs some help with something. We go over, we help them, we're pouring some water into their glass. We can do that a few times and still feel pretty good. Remember, our life is going well at this point. Our water glass is fairly full. But what's going to happen if we keep doing these little things for other people, continuously pouring water into the cups of others? It doesn't take an expert to know that if we keep pouring water out of our cup without refilling it, we're going to end up with an empty cup. If we allow our cup to run dry, essentially draining our emotional energy, we're likely to experience a wide range of symptoms. Many of us are familiar with the term burnout. Burnout is what happens when we allow our emotional cup to run dry. And for anyone who has experienced burnout, you are well aware that it is not just a mental drain of energy. When an individual is burnt out, they are more likely to get physically sick, like with a cold or a flu. Some people may experience this after putting a lot of energy into something, maybe a big project at work. Your body, spiked with adrenaline and motivation, allows you to power through this extra stress when you need it. Then, once it's all done and out of the way and the adrenaline can decrease, boom, we're sick. Burnt out folks are more likely to experience extreme stress and the symptoms that can come along with that, something like a headache or body pain that might be related to that stress. And burnout, of course, can also lead to further withdrawal from social situations. Imagine the feeling after an extra long, stressful week at work or hanging out with active, attention-seeking kids all day long. If you're anything like me, the only thing you want to do is sit on the couch with a generous glass of wine, maybe a big bag of chips, and eat away your stress, blocking out the rest of the world. Oh, and that birthday party for your coworker that you agreed to attend a week ago is the absolute last thing on your mind. Like you would rather do literally anything else on this planet than talk to another person. Sound familiar? It is not because you're lazy or a terrible friend. It's because your emotional tank is on E. You have nothing left to give, even if you wanted to. Your body is not giving you the motivation it needs to get up, get ready, and go to this dang party. Not because you're a shit friend, but because your body is simply done for the day. We have nothing left in our tank to give. Friends, let me just take a moment and say this is normal. This is being a human with typical, realistic emotional limits and boundaries. If you are a person who usually follows through with your daily responsibilities, and of course this looks different for everyone, but maybe for you it looks like going to work, going to school, running a business, taking care of the kids or the household. If you find yourself having to rearrange your schedule for an impromptu soccer practice, a sick kid at home, or let's be real, any combination of these things or other day-to-day activities, and on top of all of that, you're also attempting to fit in something that slightly resembles a social life, or gasp, time for yourself? Give yourself a goddamn pat on the back. That is a lot. That is an extreme amount of emotional energy that is being used up every single day. So, if you're open to it, allow this to be a not so subtle yet gentle reminder to you. If every once in a while you want to say fuck it and sit on your couch with a bag of chips instead of going to a loud, busy social gathering, that is okay. You are allowed to say no. Please take the time to do this. You are not an asshole. Your well-being depends on it. Okay, some of you may be pumping the figurative brakes right now. I can sense the butts building up because they almost always do when I have this conversation, which, by the way, is completely understandable. I've had clients look at me like I have completely lost it and ask, "So you're saying that I should just ditch my friends every time I'm tired or I've had a long day? I'd never see anyone ever again." And that is 100% accurate. No, I am not suggesting that we should never ever push ourselves to do something that we do not feel like doing. That's completely unrealistic. Unfortunately, motivating ourselves to do non-preferred activities is a part of life. For a small-scale example, I hate doing laundry. I would avoid it if I could, and honestly, sometimes I do. But I also know that it's a necessity, so I force myself to do it. Likewise, putting effort into relationships is also a necessity. And if we're being honest, many of the times that we do peel ourselves off the couch and go out the door, we end up having fun with our friends because healthy connections are linked to the brain's pleasure center. Yay, oxytocin! The key here is healthy balance. And healthy balance requires us to pay close attention to our emotional water cups. This means asking yourself, how much is left in my cup? How much energy have I already dished out today? And how much energy, if any, have I received in return? We are all painfully aware that life is full of unavoidable activities that drain our cup. And I'm not just meaning the sucky stuff like housework and weekly errands. Even the tasks that we love or take pride in, like being there for a friend who's feeling down or watching your kid's soccer game, all these things take emotional energy. It's normal, healthy, and even necessary to give our time and energy to others. What keeps us out of the burnout zone is, surprise, surprise, filling our cup back up. Aha! We have found our way back to this very crucial piece of identifying the difference between the feel-good, oxytocin-producing healthy relationships versus the energy-sucking, not-so-healthy relationships, which can sometimes be present in our lives. In order to continue to have the energy to give to our responsibilities and to the people we care about, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to be very aware of who and what is filling our cup, and likewise, who or what is potentially draining us. So, if you are still following along with my emotional cup metaphor, I'm assuming by now you have figured out that healthy, positive connections fill us up, whereas unhealthy connections have the ability to drain us. So then, how do we know if the relationships we have are cup fillers or cup suckers? This looks different for everyone in every relationship. Everyone is unique with unique emotional needs, values, and boundaries. No two people are exactly the same with what they need and what they give in a relationship. One thing I will say that is very rare, and I will argue practically impossible for any relationship, is for a relationship to be 50-50 100% of the time. Why? Because life throws some shit at us sometimes, and sometimes we need extra support. In these times, it would be a fair expectation that your close friend, family member, or partner would be there for you to help boost your emotional levels, aka pour water into your cup. In these moments, maybe your relationship is more 70-30 rather than 50-50, with your friend or partner picking up the slack. This is great. In the words of Dionne Warwick, that's what friends are for. We should certainly be able to count on our people to help us out when we need some extra love and support. Eventually, things will settle. We will find our footing once again, and the relationship can return to somewhat equal partnership. Of course, we must keep in mind that this flip-flop of emotional support needs to go both ways. Remember when I talked about healthy balance? If we take, we must be prepared to give, and vice versa. Of course, these expectations will vary from relationship to relationship. For example, for those of us with infants or young children, as parents, we can accept the fact that we're going to be putting in 99% of the effort to provide for their needs and wants without expecting anything in return. It's all part of the gig. We knew what we signed up for, and yet it's still exhausting. While we are biologically programmed to care for our young, let's just say it's not exclusively the lack of sleep that takes a toll on our energy levels. Oh, it's a good thing they're so dang cute. So while the role of a caregiver naturally makes us more the giver than the taker in the parent-child relationship, we would of course have different expectations for our partner or our friend, expecting that if you need them, they'll be there for you, just as you would be there for them. Not always 50-50, mind you, but a healthy balance of back and forth. I feel it's necessary to insert a wee sidebar here. While having these back and forth expectations within our relationships is understandable, it is not healthy nor helpful to have a tit-for-tat mindset. In other words, we're not keeping score of who is helping who out more often. As you can expect, this way of thinking can and will often lead to resentment within our relationships. And really, if we're keeping track of who's more helpful in the relationship, we're probably not being super genuine with our time and energy. Trust me when I say, the more practice we have of being aware of our boundaries and emotional capacity, the more our body will tell us when things are not as equal as they should be. Again, remember, this will vary from relationship to relationship and what we require to fill our cups. Many of us, for example, will feel a charge after helping someone. Doing something for others feels great. It is amazing to give and to see that appreciation. That feels really good, and that can fill our cups up. Listening to our bodies with honesty and self-compassion will allow us to determine what we need and when we need it. So, regardless of what your love language is or the range of your emotional needs for others, a healthy relationship is always going to respect your boundaries, your values, your time, and space. A healthy relationship, while not always perfect, should never make you feel unsafe or devalued. And while it's no one else's job to deal with your emotions, that's on you, unfortunately, you should never be made to feel like your feelings are unimportant or non-existent. I'm going to say that one more time. You should never be made to feel like your feelings are unimportant or non-existent. Unhealthy relationships often trick us into thinking that we are not good enough, that we can never give enough time or energy to someone, that if we're not always there for them when they need us, there's something wrong with us. That if our personal boundaries and values that we have implemented to keep us safe and happy do not match up with their personal values and boundaries, that somehow we're wrong and less important. Unhealthy relationships can steal away our independence and autonomy, sometimes erasing the you and the I, and leaving only an us, which, in turn, does not leave any room for any relationships outside of that one. These unhealthy traits can sneak up on us. Things like jealousy, insecurity, need for connection can sometimes result in behaviors and expectations that are controlling or manipulative. Depending on how love and connection has been modeled for us throughout our lives, some of us may develop a false sense of possession over others in our lives, which can be based on many factors. It could be based on the fear of losing somebody that we care about, a lack of awareness of how to show love in a healthy way, or even being unaware that these behaviors are unhealthy or abusive in the first place. Regardless of the reasons behind it, we all have an obligation to ourselves and to the people in our lives to learn healthy, adaptive relationship skills. We can be curious, compassionate, and understanding of where these less favorable behaviors may have stemmed from, while also recognizing that we have the power to learn and practice more appropriate, healthier strategies and skills to strengthen and support our connections. Change and self-reflection can be really, really hard, my friends. And we can do hard things. So, with a curious mind and without judgment, I'm going to ask you to take a moment to scan through the relationships in your lives right now. Asking yourself, do the people in your life allow you to feel respected and important? Think back to our list of boundaries, our physical, sexual, time, spiritual, material, emotional, and intellectual boundaries. Do the individuals in your life respect your boundaries? Do they fill your cup, or are you always the one giving? What are your contributions to these relationships? Are you allowing yourself to reach out for support when you need it? Remembering, of course, that your friends and family are your supports, not your therapists. Are you valuing and respecting the boundaries of others? Are you respecting your own boundaries such as knowing when to say no or recognizing when you don't have the emotional energy for a friend in crisis, even if you really, really wish you did. Are you appreciating the relationships in your life, not as something you're entitled to, but as something that can make your life more enjoyable and fulfilling? And finally, and with all the love, empathy, and compassion that you can offer to yourself, are there changes that need to be made within these connections? What changes can you make yourself to strengthen or maybe even help mend your relationships? What can we expect from others, knowing that we can't change or mend things all on our own? Please remember that personal relationships are a choice. No one is entitled to our time and energy, just as we hold no claim to anyone else. Of course, we already talked about the differences between relationships and that some relationships, such as a parent-child or even some work relationships, will often require us to give more than we take. But even within these relationships, feeling respected and valued is a basic human right. If we are giving respect to somebody else, we can certainly expect the same in return. So I invite you to take some time to consider this carefully. Which of your relationships deserve your time and focus? And which, if any, might you consider taking a step back from? Oh, that got real deep real fast. Thanks for sticking it out with me. I hope that everyone was able to reflect on this with a kind heart and an open mind. As with any of these discussions, there is no one-size-fits-all solution for everyone. I attempted as much as I could to fit in a few of the most common buts and what-ifs, but I am very, very aware that everyone's situation is different. Please take what is helpful for you and your life. If I may be so bold, I insist that you please prioritize moments of joy, self-care, and positive connection in whatever form that may take in your life. You deserve it. And when you respect and care for yourself and the people around you, healthy connections are likely to follow. Okay, so let's prioritize a little bit of that self-care right now with some grounding. So wherever you are right now, whether you're driving in your car, whether you're sitting at your desk, maybe you're laying in bed, I just want you to take a moment to find yourself in the space that you're at right now. If you have any thoughts that try and wander into your brain, just notice them without judgment and gently just put them away for now. Notice yourself in the space. Notice yourself either sitting in your chair, laying down. Notice if your feet are on the floor. Any kind of touch point or connection. Notice your breath as you breathe in deep through your nose and your lungs fill with air. Notice the feeling of breathing out slowly through your nose, deflating your lungs completely. Continue to notice your breath, breathing in slow, breathing out slow. If you're somewhere where you can safely close your eyes, please feel welcome to do so. And I'll ask you to bring your attention to the inside of your body, starting from the top of your head. See if you can notice any kind of sensation going on inside. Throbbing in your head if you have a headache, maybe a feeling in your throat, tightness in your jaw. We're just going to notice it without judgment, without trying to make it go away. Just notice that feeling, sending some love, breath, awareness to those sensations. Relaxing your jaw and moving that awareness down your body into your shoulders and your arms, into your chest, back, your belly, moving down into your sit bones, down through your legs, all the way down to your feet, noticing any kind of physical sensation that might be lingering in your body. Noticing if there's any lingering feelings of stress, tension, judgment. Just bringing love and attention and awareness. Noticing as you breathe in, you're breathing in all the love, kindness, and wellness. And breathing out anything that no longer serves you. Breaths in together, big breath in through your nose, slowly out through your mouth. A few more times, big breath in through your nose, slowly out. And one last time, big breath in through your nose, slowly out. Relaxing your jaw, relaxing your shoulders down away from your ears, softening your muscles. Expand your awareness back out to the world around you, feeling yourself sitting or laying. If your eyes are closed, begin to open them, bringing full awareness back to your space. Okay, my friends, thank you for doing that little body scan with me. It's so important to bring ourselves back to the present, bring our awareness back to what's happening right here, without judgment, without blame. Just bringing that awareness back. And of course, please remember that if there is anything that we talked about today that really hits home for you, it's something that sounds really familiar, either something that maybe you are doing or something that somebody else is doing in the relationships in your lives, it doesn't mean that you are an asshole. It doesn't mean that your friends are assholes. Bad choices don't make bad people. And so if you're noticing these things are present in your life, amazing. That's what we're looking for. That is a fantastic thing to do. We're noticing, we're being aware, and we are making a choice to maybe make a change in our lives. Maybe that means talking to the person who is perhaps overstepping boundaries, because at the end of the day, sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. So there may be boundaries that you're finding that you're overstepping with friends, and perhaps you didn't even recognize that it was a boundary that you were overstepping. So we're looking at it without judgment, and we're deciding to do better. And that's what it comes down to, my friends, is personal growth. We're not judging ourselves for who we are. We are making a choice to know better and do better. With that, I thank you again for joining me today for this discussion on relationships. I am so looking forward to coming back next week for episode 3. I hope you will join me. And until then, I invite you to be well, be kind, and keep going.